You've been tested, you've been tried, you've come out of the fires, and you've just given us at least some examples of what God has done powerfully in your life. Would you pray for our listeners that their own hearts would be open and they would find that place for God's presence?
Absolutely, Chuck. Let's agree together. Folks, as you are listening, we know that in this time that we've shared together, the presence of the Lord has come, and that expectation that you can rise up out of whatever disappointment or tragedy, discouragement or failure of a dream, loss of a vision has occurred. So, Father, we thank you today that you have surrounded your children, surrounded your church. Holy Spirit, we welcome your cloud. In your presence is fullness of joy. I pray now for a release of your very essence, your resurrection power, and where dreams have died, where there is sickness, where children have gone away from their godly inheritance, where there has been oppression in mind and body and spirit. We loose your anointing now. We recognize and welcome the name of Jesus to create a room for a miracle in every heart, in every home. Today is the day of the breakthrough. So we bless now these your children, and we send forth the power of the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Make room for your miracle, my friends. Get a copy of the book. How encouraging. Thank you so much, Bonnie. You are a real blessing. Pass along our blessing to your husband, whom I've never met but hope to do so someday. And friends, your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries will put this extremely encouraging book in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. If you want that special offer, The Power of Hospitality, plus Make Room for Your Miracle, your combined gift of $28 or more to Save America Ministries, plus only $4 postage and handling. And I want to urge you to become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Make room, my friends. Make room for the presence of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Kursmeyer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next half hour, they're going to be views of Sharon Harris and Dottie, and we're going to be talking about heart and body extract, and as you know, Sharon does help support Radio Liberty, but we enjoy having both her and Dottie on the program with us. Hi, Sharon, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. And just wrapping up the week here. It's been a short week, but it's been a good week. Under any circumstances, how are things doing? I hear your advertisements playing regularly on the heart and body extract compound that you formulate and produce and circulate. How is it doing across the world?
Well, actually, it's doing very, very well. We're actually getting very, very busy, so the days are just flying by. And we're hiring new staff because we need more staff to keep up with the demand. And we have a huge shipper in Missouri that can take on any amount of product sales going out. So, yeah, we're definitely growing and very quickly, and it's actually really, really exciting.
Well, now, what does heart and body extract specifically do? How does it help people?
Well, it is a organic and well-crafted herbal formula. It's actually an excellent herbal formula, liquid formula, and it's designed to help to support and balance the heart and the circulatory system.
All right, that sounds like pretty good analysis. Dottie, are you there?
Yes.
And you've been taking the product for a good long while, haven't you?
Well, I just celebrated 6 years on the 17th of July. So I'm quite well taken care of by Heart and Body Extract, that miracle in the little bottle.
And you think it's really helped you?
Oh, I know it has.
All right. Well,
Doctor, I wouldn't even be alive if I didn't have that. I'm really serious.
Well, I know we've talked to you about it in the past, but perhaps some of our listeners haven't heard your story. So why don't you tell our listeners how you got started listening and taking the product and how it has helped you?
Well, I'd be delighted to share a little bit of the information. I had always enjoyed good life, a good healthy life, and never smoked or never drank. Always took care of my body. But in 2000, I ended up with a list of things that were wrong, and one was the neuropathy of my feet and diabetes 2 and high blood pressure. So those I concentrated on because they were major. But for a few months there, I rocked on and tried to get things done, and then in September, I had hemorrhages in front of my retinas, and it rendered me without my central vision. So I was desperately trying to find something that would help me, but only the traditional was offered to me, or I couldn't find anything. And I was looking in the wrong places, I guess, for the right answers. But one evening in July of 2004 is when I first heard Sharon and her explanation of things, and that's when I ordered my product, and it was shipped to me quickly, and within 48 hours, my feet began to improve, losing my water weight, and so the miracle began. Shortly after that, then, was 7th, 8th, and 9th days after taking it, my vision began to improve because it was cleaning out the old blood in front of my retinas. It's not perfect yet, but it is greatly improved, and I have my equilibrium back, my mental fatigue, and mental fatigue. I just lifted like a fog, and as you can tell, I'm a motor mouth now.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dottie and Sharon Harrison. Welcome your calls here. Well, Sharon, is there anything else you want to say, Dottie, before we go back to Sharon?
Well, I have maintained the usage of it, not just grateful for that initial assistance and benefits from the extract, but it has helped me with my nails, my hair, because the lifeline of the body, of course, is the blood, the circulation. And so that began to get healthy, and then it helped me with my liver to gain better performance, and my kidneys, they improved. So it's just been a process of getting the right things in, and that nutrition that is in Heart and Body is what my body was so hungry to have, and I'm very happy.
Well, you know, because for many, many years, for really thousands of years, why people depended upon herbal extracts for their health. And then, of course, about 75 years or 100 years ago, why we began producing more and more medicines and getting away from these basic herbs, and yet they really do play an important part in maintaining health. Sharon, how did you ever get started in really studying herbs and this sort of thing?
Well, basically, Heart and Body Extract was created because I had health problems, you know, over about 9 years ago. I was having problems with elevated blood pressure, and I had enlarged heart and swelling of the ankles, and very lethargic, very tired, and my heart was skipping beats, and I was having palpitations, and I had thought that I had had a good diet, but even though I thought I was eating well and exercising well and drinking good water and eating organically, I thought I was doing as much as I could, something still was deficient, something I was missing. And so out of the frustration with my health conditions, I searched and searched and searched for something to help myself, and I was not successful, although I tried many different things. So finally, in frustration, I kind of prayed to God. I said, God help me, what should I do? And it came to me, the name Greg, and Greg happens to be a master herbologist out of British Columbia that I knew and trusted. And so what I did was I gave him a call, and I asked him if he would help me to create a formula to help to support and balance the circulatory system in the heart. And so together we created the formula.
All right, you hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Sharon Harris. And we're talking about heart and body extract. And, of course, Sharon does help to support Radio Liberty, but we do so much enjoy having her here on our programs. And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just asking Sharon how she happened to actually come up with heart body extract, and she was saying that she had had a lot of personal problems about 9 years ago, and she'd contacted a friend of hers, Greg, who's a herbologist, a master herbologist, and together they'd put together this compound to see if it would help her. And when it helped her, she decided that why she'd try to make it available to others. She started very slowly, seeing if it helped others, and eventually now today, why it's certainly a product that's sold across the world. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for either Sharon or Dottie, who are we talking about once a month about this. But certainly Sharon had started this then about nine years ago, and you took the product yourself, and what happened to you?
Well, I was actually really impressed. Within a couple of weeks of using the heart and body extract, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110. I know blood pressure varies, but it was kind of, you know, steady around 160 over 110. And then 2 weeks later, I took the blood pressure levels, and it was 120 over 70. And I kept looking and doing it again and doing it again. 120 over 70? 120 over 70, that's like 40 points down in 2 weeks. So I was just thrilled. And at first, I couldn't believe it, but after I kept repeating, you know, taking the measurement, it was showing 120 over 70. Now, I've been very fortunate to be able to, you know, have normal blood pressure for the last 9 years. I do take a maintenance dosage of the heart and body extract every day, and I want to make sure I keep taking maintenance dosage because I do not want to backslide. And then back 9 years ago, I also had those irregular heartbeats, skipping beats, palpitations, and within about 5 days, I noticed that that was improved, which, again, was quick. Not everybody's going to get results quick. I mean, we're all different. Everybody's unique. We're all very different. And so what happened to me may not happen to the next person, but certainly the formula is very safe, it's very effective, and it does work. Some people will get results quicker than others. And so what I say to people is be patient, be persistent, keep taking it, and it will work, and it's just a matter of time for it to work. And then finally, with the heart and body extract, I was having that lethargy, that tiredness, that swelling in the ankles, the enlarged heart, the extreme tiredness. Within a month, I noticed I was feeling better. I didn't have to have a nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My ankles were not as swollen. My calves were not as swollen. The feet were not as swollen. I was able to wear my running shoes again that I wasn't able to wear. And within about 6 months, that really enlarged heart was shrunk down to a nice normal size.
All right. So how did you then get started actually marketing the product?
Well, like you kind of mentioned earlier, and you're right, we had talked about this before. I started with myself, and I wanted to be very careful, very slow, and very methodical to make sure that other people were getting the results. So I just kind of went to person that I knew, and some people that I had known from previous business ventures, I let them know about the heart and body, and they tried it, and they got results. So I'd say maybe in the first year, maybe 100 people were exposed to the heart and body, and one after another were very happy and were getting results. So after I saw that happen, about 100, a good 100, I was really convinced that the formula was working. And then at that point, I started to put out magazine ads and did that for a few years. And then I'd say about 6 years ago, like when Dottie heard about us, we started some radio. And radio is a really wonderful way to meet people. It really is.
Well, I think so. I think it's a great way to actually get ideas out. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you tried the product, if you have a question or comment, why, there's nobody who could tell you better what's going on than Sharon Harris, of course, who's developed the product, and Sydney Dottie has taken it for a long time. So if you have a question, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. A great website to have a look at to read testimonials and see the ingredients and the properties of the formula, what the ingredients do, etc., is heartandbody.com. Heartandbody.com. The telephone number is 866-
295-5305. 866-295-5305. All right, fine, Chris. Certainly, as I listen to all other people's radio programs, I hear your ads running on a regular basis, and so you're really marketing this through an awful lot of radio stations all across the country. But you actually have people getting it from all across the world. How do people in other countries hear about it?
Well, you know, excuse me, we do the radio and we do also banner advertising. We're on some pretty big banners now, pretty big websites that are, I don't know if I should mention names, I don't know if it's appropriate.
Oh, no, you won't hurt my feelings.
Oh, okay, like Coast to Coast, that's a big one. Michael Savage. And Rush Limbaugh, we're on their website, too. Those are very large websites.
Oh, boy. Well, of course, Rush has got a tremendous listening audience, and so does Coast to Coast there. They certainly are heard all throughout the world.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that is causing us to be very, very busy. But we do meet a lot of very nice, loyal people through yourself, Dr. Stan Watts.
Well,
very good people.
Well, we like to think so. We know we have listeners out all across America. We're really blessed to have them. Well,
yes.
Dottie, really, you've been taking this now for 6 years, and are you still in pretty good shape?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I really have so much energy, and I'm stabilized. It's not sporadic in any way. So I know that it is an ongoing and a healthy, good, strong feeling that I have. And my eyes are better. My whole condition is better. In fact, I got to cut back on to about 25% of the pharmaceuticals that I was taking for the high blood pressure, which started out at 179 over 110. And it stays steady now. At about 120 over 68. So, yes, it's a process that has gained a steady health for me. My attitude, my composure is wonderful. It's totally healthy. You could just wrap it up that way. I began to have Heart and Body to clean up my mess and throughout my body. And that is what it's done. My feet to the top of my head has so improved. But it is staying with me because I am doing the maintenance on it. Now, if I have a stressful event or something and maybe I'm upset about something, well, I take a little bit of Heart and Body and that goes in there in my blood to my heart, opens everything up, I get more oxygen. And it relaxes me.
Well,
it has tremendous benefits.
All right. Well, Sharon, how do people take this product? And basically, how often should they be taking it? How much should they be taking? And once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But go ahead.
Yes. for taking the Heart and Body extract, it depends on the person's weight. Let's say a person is 150 pounds. If they were 150 pounds, we would suggest 15 drops three times a day, morning, afternoon, evening. When a person gets their dropper, it comes with little lines on the dropper, and so you can kind of go right by the lines on the dropper. So, for example, 15 drops would be half a mil. If, let's say, somebody is 300 pounds, they would take 1 mil. That would be 30 drops 3 times a day. So, again, according to the weight. And what you do is just dispense the liquid up in the dropper, put it underneath your tongue, hold it there for a minute or two, and then swallow. It's absorbed into the bloodstream through the mucosa of the mouth, and it goes directly into the bloodstream and starts to work quick.
And, of course, that's one advantage. And, of course, the whole idea is that you put under your tongue, the mucosa there has just very all full of blood vessels, and that's how you take nitroglycerin. Other things, it's directly absorbed into the bloodstream, doesn't have to go through the digestive tract, where, of course, it may very well get detoxified. So the beauty of this, and I use it spoons. Some people might know my son actually just puts it with a dropper under his tongue, but any way you want to get it down. And I really think it's probably works much better. Some of the people, similar products, or other types of products of this type are very often in capsules, but I really think that the idea of putting it directly into your tongue is an excellent one.
Yes, indeed. And many of the things that people notice at first is that they notice that they're feeling better. So that's very common. I notice I'm feeling better. When I start taking that Heart and Body, I really look forward to it. It's like I have to have it. It's like I need to have my water and my nutrition. I need my Heart Body to just feel better. And having that quality of life is just so important.
And, of course, you take it actually 3 times a day, don't you?
Yes. Oh, for sure. 3 times a day. Morning, afternoon, evening, whatever suits the schedule is fine. The bottle is very portable. It'll sit into a lady's purse. It can sit in the car. It's not sensitive to cold or hot, and so it's very easy to use that way too.
Hold that thought for a moment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, have a question or comment. Again, it's Sharon Harris and Dottie, and the product, Heart and Body Extract. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking with Sharon Harris about the Heart and Body Extract. And once again, would you like to tell us what's in it? Because certainly you've told us.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
We're talking about your website. Let me give our telephone number out one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But why don't you get your website out, tell people how they can get there, and once again, get your telephone number out in case people would like to get in touch with you.
Sure, that's fine. So the website is Heart and Body. heartandbody.com, and the phone number is 866-295-5305.
All right, and fine. And when do you think you'll have those the results of that study up there on your website?
Well, you know, like I say, there's so many things that we're doing. I mean, we're growing the business. I'm just training a new employee. We had a challenge with authorized.net. Listen to this, Dr. Stan. This was really fun. From the period of, from June 28th through July the 11th, the shopping cart was merrily taking credit cards, but not charging the customers. So we've had to phone a whole bunch of people to get their credit cards because they weren't charged in the first place. So, you know what? It's busy. So, you do the most important things first. But you know what? We never held up those orders. We just kept sending it out to the clients because they came first. We came second. The money was not as important as getting that product out to our customers.
Well, I hope you did get paid for it because you can't.
Well, we're working on it, okay, but imagine having to phone 500 people. It takes time.
Well, I'm sure it does, but it's unfortunate. But sometimes these electronic gadgets, they're wonderful when they work, but when they don't work, they can certainly make your life miserable.
They can. But, you know, it has been a blessing in a way because I've had the opportunity to talk one-on-one to a lot of very, very nice people, and it's been a blessing that way. So it's always a positive to these things, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, marketing, here I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I never thought I'd be in the mail order business and marketing, but we have to do that to, of course, keep our radio programs going and buy time all across the country. But really, it is fun to get a chance to talk to people, and I know that they appreciate talking to you. I know that I appreciate talking to a lot of our people, and you just sort of like to know who you're really dealing with.
Yeah, that's right. So it has been a blessing, you know, and the clients say, oh, I'm so happy to be able to talk to you, and then they would go over their health situation and ask questions, and I would, give them some counseling. So it was very, very rewarding. So, you know, we got some things done, and one lady, for example, today I talked to her, and she was heading down a really not-so-good track, I think, And I was able to turn her around with a few nutritional suggestions, like taking some flaxseed oil and CoQ10 and B-complex and, of course, heart and body, and really, you know, get her back on track so she can get her health back. So,
and very for our listeners out there, CoQ10 really is pivotal to the proper function of the heart. And
yes.
The big problem is today that so many people are on statin. We're dealing with millions of people on statin drugs. And the people who produce those know that statin drugs actually decreases the CoQ10 level. And yet they give it anyway, and the doctors don't know. They haven't told the doctors. I mean, how many doctors are going to read the package insert and find that out? And so, boy, if you are on the statin drugs, which I don't think you should be, because, of course, it's not the high cholesterol that causes the hardening of the arteries, and they know that. But you're talking about 1% improvement as far as heart dying of heart attack and or stroke by taking the statin drugs. But this is a multi-billion-dollar business, and the FDA is going right along with the scam. But if you are taking the statin drugs, be sure you're on CoQ10. And I'm sure that Sharon would suggest you seriously consider taking her product as well. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We only have a minute or two more. Dottie, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners before we let you go?
All I can say is that with heart and body, it will de-gunk your blood system, and you can get healthy again, and then the organs and systems can begin and stay on a good, healthy basis. So take Heart and Body Extract to clean up and stay healthy. And look ahead.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dottie, and thank you so very much, Sharon. We'll talk to you again next month.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Good night. God bless.
Good night now.
Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan here, and of course, we'll be doing open lines the next half hour. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and talk about whatever you'd like. This is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to mention that if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here is 464-8295. And if you have something you'd like to talk about on this subject or really any other subject, I think maybe we'll talk a little bit about something that I've been writing about in my latest newsletter. And, you know, it was in 1877. When Cecil Rhodes wrote, first of all, his Confession of Faith, where he talked about forming a secret society, and, of course, when he wrote his first will, where he talked about consolidating all of the world under British rule, and that, of course, forming a secret society so that they could bring about this consolidation of the world under British rule. And then he said that the reason he wanted to do that was because he wanted to create peace. He wanted to create peace throughout the world and do what was best for humanity. So it was that in 1891, Cecil Rhodes created a secret society. Now, this is totally suppressed. I mean, if this simply was a historical unit, they would not suppress this as carefully as they have. But it is being suppressed today. Why is it being suppressed? Well, I believe because the secret society exists today, the ideas of this are operating through their front organizations. which are here in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations, located at 58 East 68th Street in New York City, and I've been there on several occasions and gone through even many of their records that nobody else has ever gone through, and I've spent weeks back at the headquarters of Harold Pratt House at 58 East 68th Street, and then, of course, the Trilateral Commission, and I haven't been through their records, but we've read enough of their material, there's no question at all that they're dedicated to the formation of a world government, the destruction of American sovereignty. These are subversive organizations, and no one will dare to say that. But certainly David Rockefeller, the honorary chairman of the CFR, in 1991, 100 years later, talked about exactly the same things. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we're going to have open lines the next 30 minutes, so if you're out there in the listening audience, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, is there really are secret societies. There are many secret societies, but the dominant one here in the United States, certainly, is the Secret Society and the front organization that Cecil Rhodes created in 1891, of course, which then, of course, was associated with the Rhodes Scholarships and actually funded the Rhodes Scholarships. Cecil Rhodes had two plans that he was going to use to bring about a world government. One was the Secret Society that would operate through a number of front organizations, and there was the Association of Helpers and the Round Table. But, of course, what it came to be in the United States, formed in 1921, was the Council on Foreign Relations, located at 58 East 68th Street in New York City. And in England, in St. James Wood, at Chatham House, the old William Pitt House, and St. John's Square. And we've been there, St. James Square, and St. John's Wood, I guess it is, or square there, not too far from Trafalgar Square in London. We've been to all of these places. They're very real. They're there planning on how they will bring about this world government. Their goal is to bring peace to the world, and the way they're going to bring peace to the world is to take us from war to war to war, to convince people that war is so horrible that, of course, we must have this world government under their control. And that, of course, has been the goal of the ancient mystery religions and the secret societies and the Kabbalah and the Gnostics. And certainly that's what Plato was writing about in the Republic. And then, of course, the Templars and the Gnostics in more recent times. First of all, the Masons formed in 1711, and then the Illuminati formed in 1776. And all of these organizations, at least the idea for the world government and the occult forces behind that, are available today. Basically, what they want is not only a world government, they want to destroy existing religion. And, of course, they want then a universal religion. And behind this are the powerful occult forces, the powerful Luciferian forces. How do we know this is Luciferian? Well, all you really need to do is get Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, and read what he says. On page 321, he says, Lucifer the light-bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness. Is it Lucifer, the son of the morning? Is it he who with splendor intolerable blinds sensual or selfish souls? Doubt it not, because, of course, traditions contain divine revelations and initiatives. And, of course, the in divine and the R in revelation are capitalized, which means they come from the deity, the divine revelation of the deity. And who is the deity? Why, it's Lucifer. And, of course, this is this idea of Gnosticism. And people never talk about Gnosticism today, but Masonry is a Gnostic religion. And basically, if you read Albert Pike, he will tell you that this is all aimed at concealing the truth from the average Mason. The truth will be available only to the adepts, to the elect, to the princes of Masonry. And the average Mason simply is there as a cover, And, of course, there's Manly P. Hall, who was a 33rd degree Mason when he died. Why, the Scottish Rite Journal said he was the greatest Masonic philosopher of all time. And in his book, The Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, incidentally, these books are available, not Morals and Dogma, but Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, and Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, and his book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. You can get these from Radio Liberty. But in the Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, he lays it out very clearly. Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer organization that conceals an inner fraternity of the elect, an outer organization that conceals an inner fraternity of the elect. And that's what it's all about. There is, certainly within Masonry, a small clique that really understands what this is about. Just as within the Council on Foreign Relations, there's a small clique that understands what it's about. I don't think the average person in the Council on Foreign Relations understands anything other than the fact that you join that organization and you're going to get promoted and you get lots of money and you're going to meet a lot of great people. And, of course, you know that the wave of the future is world government, and if you support that, you'll do fine. And if you buck it, why, they will destroy you. And so most people will simply go along with the situation. But the inner core of this organization understands what it's all about. In fact, David Rockefeller wrote about it in his memoirs. He said, you know, there's some people who even believe that I and my family are part of a secret cabal that's working against the best interests of the United States, conspiring with others to bring about a new international order. And if that is the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. That is what he says on page 405 when he talks about this secret cabal. And then he makes some vague remarks about, oh, well, these foolish people who believe in cabals. But he's already admitted he's part of a secret cabal, and he is. He is the permanent honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was first the vice chairman for 20 years and then the chairman for 15 years. He's the permanent honorary chairman of the CFR, the most powerful organization, well, next to the Trilateral Commission. Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission in 1973, and certainly since then, since 1977, between 77 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. Do you honestly think that happened by accident when there only never been more than about 87 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission at any one time? And yet, over that period from 77 to 2008, every president and or vice president came from the membership roles of that organization, and six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, eight of the 10 World Trade Representatives, seven of the 12 Secretaries of State, nine of the 12 Secretaries of Defense. Do you honestly believe that happened by accident? Of course it didn't. They control Barack Obama today. He is simply a figurehead. He's the person we see. He's the person we see on television. He's the person that most people are very disillusioned with without realizing why you have a clique that controls him. It's the same clique that controlled George W. Bush and the same people who controlled Sidney Bill Clinton and Sidney George Herbert Walker Bush and Ronald Reagan. In fact, Ronald Reagan, who spoke out against the Trilateral Commission, according to David Rockefeller in his book Memoirs, he will tell that Ronald Reagan invited the members of the Trilateral Commission to the White House for dinner. Why would Ronald Reagan, who spoke out against the Trilateral Commission when he was running for the presidency, end up inviting the members of the Trilateral Commission to the White House for dinner when Ronald Reagan was the president? You're never going to hear this anyplace, but read David Rockefeller's memoirs. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. I don't know how long they'll keep the book in print, but we do have it now. We think it's an important book. 1-800-544-8927. Now, Sidney, another very important book is Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. It's been out of print a number of years, but we have purchased a number of copies. We do have them. They're available secondhand. And on page 280, Barry Goldwater. Senator Barry Goldwater talks to people about how the Council on Foreign Relations has to do with domestic affairs. But the Trilateral Commission is an international organization, and their goal is to take over the commercial and financial interests. And he's talking about the world, the commercial and financial interests, by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. The purpose of the Trilateral Commission is to take over commercial and financial interests by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. That's on page 280 of Barry Goldwater's book, with no apologies. Then he goes on to talk about how they're going to control everything. They're going to take over the spiritual things that are going on, the financial, the commercial, here in the United States. And they believe, of course, if everybody has lots of material things, they'll forget about these things like freedom and sovereignty and individuality. And they are going to then control everything. And he concludes the chapter by saying, and they are going to rule the world. Now, that was written in 1979. Incidentally, you can get the secondhand copy of the book from Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927, because we want you to be able to get this information and have it and get it to others and copy the pages and get them out. Let people understand that there is a clique. Senator Barry Goldwater tried to warn us about this elitist group that wanted to take over control of our government. That was written in 79, and as of the year 2010, they control the government of the United States. 31 years later, they're in total working control, and certainly at least 11, actually 12 members of their organization, of the 87 members, current members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, they're the people who surround certainly of the President of the United States and give him his orders every day. And if he didn't go along with them, why they'd take him on a trip to Dallas. I don't think that they would hesitate to assassinate Barack Obama, because these are wicked and evil people. But they believe they serve a higher purpose. They're going to bring peace to the world. And they're going to bring peace to the world by taking us into another war, and of course that will be World War III. And certainly World War I was horrible. Certainly about 21 million people died in that senseless war. 75 million were killed or injured, but in World War II, close to 60 million people died, and well over 100 million were killed or injured. And I fear that in World War III, perhaps even a billion people or more may die. And they're setting us up for this. All you have to do is read their publications. Read Newsweek magazine. Read U.S. News and World Report. Read Time magazine. They're all tie into this Brotherhood of Darkness. Read the Wall Street Journal. Read the New York Times. And you'll see how they're preparing us for the coming war with Iran. It's almost as if we have no choice. We're going to have to go to war with Iran. After all, they may be able, one of these days, to get a nuclear weapon, and they, of course, may be able to have intermediate range missiles where they could hit the various countries in Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, China has nuclear weapons, and they've threatened to nuke Los Angeles. You don't believe that? Go to your search engine and just type in China threatens nuke Los Angeles. They have. North Korea has threatened to attack the west coast of the United States. Why don't we go to war with those countries? Because it's a master plan. That's the reason that George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, did not take out Saddam Hussein in 1991 when our troops were halfway to Baghdad, because there was a plan. That plan is for this time, and that's why they're going to take us to war with Iran. But notice how the rationale that is being used, why Iran might get a bomb. The world would be unsafe if Iran had the bomb. Well, India has the bomb, and Pakistan has the bomb, and China has the bomb, and Russia has the bomb, and Israel has the bomb, and they've threatened to use it, to use the Samson option if they are facing defeat. So why are we worried about Iran having the bomb? Because we're trying to justify the coming war. That's what it's about. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I have nothing prepared. It's really up to you to call. We do call in radio, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, either three or four carrier groups are in the either in the Arabian Sea or in the Red Sea. We don't know what they are, and you go up on the Internet and you try to Google it and find out where they are. Why, no one will tell you where they are unless you have access to military information. And the people in the military are sworn to secrecy, but they're preparing, and it's only a matter of time before the attack comes. Certainly the pressure is on the United Nations troops to pull out of the area there in southern Lebanon, where they're separating the Hezbollah forces and Israel, and the UN forces are being attacked not only by Hezbollah but by the pro-Hezbollah civilians forces there, and they're physically attacking, militarily attacking the UN forces, and I think it's only a matter of time before they pull out. So why, where is the world outcry against attacking the United Nations forces? I mean, why don't we read about that every day and how terrible it is that Hezbollah is attacking the UN forces and the civilians there are attacking the U.S. forces? You pull out the U.S. forces, you prepare then for the coming conflict between Israel and Hezbollah. And, of course, when that happens, why, you can be sure that Hezbollah will start launching their weapons, their missiles. They have somewhere between 45,000 and 85,000 missiles in Lebanon. And, of course, how many Syria has, I certainly don't know. But I believe that their weapons, intermediate-range missiles, are actually capped with chemical and biological weapons, and the Israelis believe that as well. And, of course, that is because that's where Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction went. And we have this from a number of sources. You're never going to hear this because you're just the common people. They didn't want you to know that, yes, Saddam really did have weapons of mass destruction with chemical warheads and nuclear warheads, and they were actually moved into Syria before the Americans attacked. How do I know that? Well, Avi Lipkin, who used to be a spokesman for the Israeli military, had told me that. Dor Gold, who we had the opportunity to interview, and he was the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, wrote a fascinating book, and we carried it for some time. But when I interviewed him, I asked him about those weapons of mass destruction, the chemical, biological warheads that Saddam Hussein had, and he suddenly acknowledged that they were moved into Syria. That's Joel Skousen has confirmed this. Other people who I have believe are responsible told us that. So Syria has chemical and biological weapons, and they've mounted them on the warheads. And of course, remember, they were built with the chemical weapons and the biological warfare agents that were given to Saddam Hussein by your own government, by the United States government. If you disagree with that, we have an article out of the Washington Post. We'll be glad to send you. Call when an ally becomes an enemy. When an ally becomes an enemy, and we gave Saddam Hussein the material to build the chemical and biological weapons, he sent them to Syria. They've been mounted then on the missiles that are going to be used against Israel in the near future. Every Israeli citizen has been given a gas mask, a kit to protect themselves. What sort of madness is this? I mean, certainly, where, of course, did the people, the Iranians, get their technology for their missiles? Well, they get them from Russia. Where did Russia get it from? We gave it to them. And until you understand what's really going on, nothing really makes sense. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty. And we'll be going to talk. We have one person on the line. Hopefully, we'll be with them in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. If we still have that caller on line one, we'll be glad to talk to them. I'll let Letitia go ahead and pass them through if they will. But under any circumstances, I'm very, very concerned that we are certainly on our way to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Yeah, it's find out it's a study on Christianity and the Constitution. It's a 6-week course. It meets in the youth center of the Calvary North Spokane Calvary Chapel Mondays from 6 to 9, and it's running every Monday through August 16th. And I actually have the phone number for the church is 467-2860. That's area code 509-467-2860.
Now, is this the Institute of the Constitution, or is this a separate course on Christianity and the Constitution?
It's the Institute on the Constitution, and they have a booklet. The booklet is a really thick, big booklet. It's only that comes. You know, you come by the booklet. It's $6. The class is free. You don't have to have the booklet, but it's a measly little $6 for the big booklet, and it's got a lot of information, and you know, pass that. Little quizzes after each video. That last week was the first one. So
all right, fine. One more time. Get out the telephone number there, Nelson. We'll let you go.
Area code 509-467-2860.
All right. Is there a good man running for the mayor up there?
No, he's running for the governor.
Oh, he's running for governor.
In the Republican primary. His name is Chris Didier. He's been endorsed by the Ron Paul campaign or by Ron Paul. He's also had Sarah Palin. If anybody, Sarah Palin has helped him as a fundraiser. He's running in the Republican primary for governor.
All right, fine. Well, if you want to have him get in touch with us, we'll be glad to have him as a guest on our afternoon and evening program, or you can call us off air and give us the information. Thanks so much for calling, Nelson.
All right, God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We do have a few advertisers. They do help, but by the time you have to keep some 60 stations on the air every single week, why, it gets a little expensive. So if you're in a position to help us, why, we are reaching people all across America with a message that most people are not putting out. And that there really are secret societies, not simply the CFR, Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations, but there's a myriad of them, certainly the Masons, the Skull and Bones, of the Bohemian Grove now. So they don't publish their membership list. But behind the Bohemian Grove are powerful, the very powerful occult forces. We have their official books, which are never to be seen by anybody else. We bought a set of them, very expensive. And in the front of this, they talk about how they revere the owl. Why would you want to revere an owl? That's an ugly bird. Well, of course, it's a symbol of Moloch. It's a symbol of Satan. When you understand that, and then if you haven't seen their ceremonies, why, of course, you get that. It's like the DVD on the Bohemian Grove, which films that were shot by Alex Jones. But certainly, it's well worthwhile watching. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You've got to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to get Barry Goldwater's book or David Rockefeller's book, they're available from Radio Liberty. Remember, Barry Goldwater's used, but you can't get a new one, but we've got the used ones for you. And then, of course, we've got Alex Jones' great, the final, it's called Loose Chains, The Final Cut, and it's available from Radio Liberty. We've got his new DVD on The Invisible Empire. We've got his DVD on Police State 4. And then, of course, we've got the Surveillance Society. Don't you know they're actually listening to all of your telephone calls with the computer? Every telephone call is permanently recorded, every email, every fax, not only here but throughout the world. And then, of course, we just read an article tonight. Walmart's going to put the RFID chips on every bit of underwear. Walmart is going to put the RFID chips on every bit of underwear. It's not imaginary. It's very real, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading towards a time you'll need to buy or sell, lest you wear the mark of the beast to be known by the number of his name. You need to get, of course, the DVDs on the final countdown, or the book by that title. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, and William's usually with us on Friday evening. I always look forward to his program, not only because I love to hear what he has to say, but because it means it's the end of the long week, and we're going to have a couple of days off. Hi, William. How are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well, and I also enjoy your chat. Thanks so much for having me on as a guest again.
Well, what are we going to talk about tonight?
I think we have to talk about what I've called the grand unraveling of the great unveiling. The fact that we're dealing here with the recessional phase of the boom and bust that the Federal Reserve has engineered, and this, of course, is the biggest bust in history because we're dealing with the aftermath of the largest inflationary boom. And, of course, every time we talk, Dr. Stan, we always end up sort of brushing up against apocalyptic themes, not necessarily because either you or I would know about the end of the age in terms of the timeline and some of the other details that only Providence is privy to, but because the term apocalypse means revelation, it means unveiling, and one of the really healthy things that happens, that's healthy in the sense that getting very bad news from a doctor about a correctable but life-threatening condition is healthy. One of the healthy things that happens in an economic correction is you get a real sense of just how bad things are below the illusion of prosperity or beneath these layers of plundered, pilfered prosperity that come about through fraud and through deferral of responsibility. We have a whole system now that's been based on getting people to live at the expense of others, and one of the most insidious things that's happened is that they, meaning the political class and the people to whom they cater, have been stealing intergenerationally. They've, through deficit financing, there's something still going on, but it can't go on much longer. Through deficit financing, they've simply been deferring the economic consequences by stealing from the future in order to plunder people in the present. And we've reached that point where basically the future and the present have intersected. We're living in that long-deferred period of time where there's going to be some kind of an accounting. And in the meantime, of course, as revenue streams constrict and money dries up, you're starting to see the real nature of all of the governments that exist in this country. And every single one of them, down to the most intimate community in this country, is based entirely on force and fraud, on plunder, and on corruption. Every single one of them. I can't think that there might be some hamlet in the obscure wilds of North Carolina that's like Mayberry, the fabled Mayberry of television and movie fame. But for the most part, you've got to assume that living in a system like ours is supposed to be a federated constitutional republic, but in practice is a unitary oligarchy with democratic features. In a system such as ours, you're not going to find any local government, county government, state government that's exempt. And the thing that I've been watching very carefully over the last 6 or 7 months here, I've been watching very carefully for little critical illustrations of the type of impunity and the type of arrogant disregard that our so-called public servants display, and that's a large and growing pile, and it's going to get nastier as this economic contraction, this disaster unfolds, and these people become more desperate for revenue to maintain their position at our expense. So that's something to look out for.
I think so. In fact, I was just reading, there was a little town down somewhere in Southern California where, of course, the city manager was making $750,000 a year. A little tiny town there, a police chief was getting $400,000 a year. I mean, that's twice as much as the police chief in Los Angeles. Again, nobody ever bothered to look and see how much salary these people were getting. I think the three people were getting $1.6 million, you know, a year. Three people, you know, in this little tiny town. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, we're running into a situation where we're going to be running out of money at the federal level, at the state level, at the county level, and at the city level. And unfortunately, this is happening. We have people who own sewer bonds, they have library bonds, they have highway bonds, and there's not going to be any money to pay these off.
Yeah.
Then what happens? You go ahead, pick the story up.
Well, what happens, I think, is that we're going to see, in a large scale across the country, some kind of reversed outright feudalism, where they're simply going to be using the instruments of surveillance and control and coercion just to take control through main force of what they need in order to keep the political class in the position to which they're accustomed. You made mention of the city of Bell, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. That's a very important story, and I was going to bring that up and elaborate on that a little bit, because this is a sequel, and unlike most sequels, this one is even more outrageous than the first installment of the story. But that's a sequel to the story of Maywood, California, which is a hamlet of similar, I believe it's about 45, 50, 60,000 people. It's almost entirely Hispanic in composition. And it had declared itself a sanctuary city a number of years ago, which was part of its problem. And another big, very big part of its problem was the fact that it had a police force that was made up almost entirely of cast-offs from other law enforcement agencies in California and elsewhere. You actually had a situation where their chief of police in Maywood was a convicted thief. Did a talent search for the police chief position. They ended up hiring somebody who had been expelled from the Los Angeles Police Department and actually had faced criminal sanctions because he'd been caught stealing. And so he was I guess, the irresistible choice to become the police chief in Maywood. Well, what happened is that Maywood, until recently, had been providing police coverage for Bell as well as Maywood. So you had about 100,000 people, give or take, who were under the jurisdiction of the Maywood Police Department. And you had, once again, because this is sort of a motley of the gathered scrapings of the bottom of the barrel of every police department barrel in California, you had a police department that had completely run amok. They were shaking people down with impunity. You had a long train, to borrow Thomas Jefferson's eminently quotable phrase, a long train of abuses here that entailed the completely gratuitous use of force, including potentially lethal force. You had a steady procession of people who were being summarily punished in what is now called a street justice fashion for the supposed crime of contempt of cop. And that contempt often was manifest by an earnest and perfectly defensible request for an explanation, as in one instance I wrote about recently when I addressed this subject in my blog, Pro Libertate, in which a young man saw a couple of police
officers. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our William Grigg is telling us a little town there in Southern California, where, of course, they had a totally corrupt police force. And there were two towns, there were about 100,000 people, but the police there were so corrupt. And, of course, these were all people, many of them had been policemen on other police forces, been discharged because of appropriate actions, or if the police chief himself had been expelled from the Los Angeles police force because he'd been caught stealing. And so this is the police force that's enforcing the law in this little community. So you pick up the story there.
Yeah, exactly. Some of your listeners might be familiar with the trilogy of movies that came out in the 1980s called Back to the Future, and it was a time travel plot involving this character who's ping-ponging back and forth in various periods of time. And in one of the movies, there was an alternate future in which his little town, I can't remember the name of the town Marty McFly, the main character, lived in California. The little town in an alternate future, because the past had been changed, had fallen under the under the rule of this bully by the name of Biff, who basically turned it into a little sinkhole of organized crime where the police were involved in shaking people down and stealing and terrorizing folks rather than protecting their rights. That's literally what was going on in Maywood, California. Maywood, California could very well have been that city as depicted, I believe, in the second film of the Back to the Future series. You had these police officers who, in one instance I was going to mention before the break, we read about how there was an arrest going on across the street from a residence in Maywood. And the teenage son wandered over and asked the police what they were doing, what was going on, because it looked like they were beating somebody rather than arresting him. So he ended up getting beaten, and so the father came out and demanded to know what they were doing with the son. He ended up getting tasered and beaten, and they were placed under arrest, but no charges were pressed against them, and they were released after getting, once again, beaten up for what is commonly called contempt of cop. That kind of thing was happening all the time in Maywood. As a result, they had this whole series of lawsuits being filed by people who didn't want to put up with this type of abuse and were horrified by what was going on. And so the California State Insurance Underwriter, the underwriting agency that was in charge of providing insurance for municipalities, refused to grant them another contract. That is to say, they decided they were no longer going to extend liability insurance to the government of Maywood. That led them to bankruptcy. So Maywood city government disbanded. And they ended up with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department providing law enforcement coverage, and then the city of Bell, California, the neighboring city, was going to be in charge of providing municipal services. Well, as we just found out over the last week, and this is something I had suspected would be the case, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, the city government in Bell, California, is a riotous pit of the most indulgent corruption one could imagine. There's a piece from CNN that provides just a little bit of detail here. Three officials in the Los Angeles suburb whose high salaries sparked statewide outrage will step down from their jobs, as the city's mayor said Friday. Oscar Hernandez, the mayor of Bell, California, and the city council accepted the resignations of city manager Robert Rizzo, assistant city manager Angela Spacchia, and police chief Randy Adams, who reportedly had a combined salary of more than $1.6 million. He added that the three will not get severance pay. Well, I certainly hope not, because they're going to be getting huge, just pharaonical pensions as a result of the salaries they were getting paid. The state attorney general said the salaries were beyond belief. The Los Angeles Times reported that the city manager had nearly an $800,000 salary, and this is in a town of about 38,000 where the median income is $35,000 a year. Now think about that disparity for a second. What's the tax base, if you're going to examine it in those terms? What's the tax base of a community where the median income, the mean income, average income, is $35,000 a year? It's obviously not going to be enough to support that type of extravagant salary. But it's just amazing, but there it was. The Los Angeles Times reported that Rizzo had an annual salary of nearly $800,000 a year, making him the highest-paid city manager in the state. Let's see, most city council members are paid nearly $100,000 for their part-time jobs. These outrageous salaries and bills are shocking beyond belief, said Jerry Brown, the Attorney General of the state of California. With record deficits and painful budget cuts facing California cities, astronomical local government salaries raise serious questions and demand a thorough investigation. It's shocking. How do they get it? Corey Crist, a resident of the city, said to CNN affiliate KTLA, they're making more than the president. They're making a couple of times more than the president, as a matter of fact. It's totally not fair. California Assemblyman Hector de la Torre, who represents the district that encompasses Bell, also voiced outrage. The city council salaries and outrageous salaries for the staff have really riled up the community. It's a working-class community. They're busy just trying to survive in a tough economic climate. Well, one of the reasons why the police chief here in Bell, Randy Adams, was receiving the salary he received was because he was already retired from a previous position in a different police department, and so they had to pay him something that was equivalent to the pension he was drawing. And this is a very typical thing. You've got people who retire, and then after they retire from one job, they take another job, often a sinecure, and so they're double-dipping. They're receiving a pension plus the salary. And there are always ways that you can manipulate your last year pre-retirement salary so as to increase the size of your pension. You can discover that you have a previously concealed disability and then take disability payments and use that as a way of sort of plumping up your pension. And once again, for a really good examination of this, that's perfectly outrageous, very informative, and of course outrageous because it's so informative, I'd recommend Stephen Greenhut's recent book, Plunder, where he literally gives chapter and verse and specific figures in terms of how this specific type of scam in the aggregate is destroying the economy of California. There are a number of things, any one of which could prove to be lethal economically in California. You've got the pressures with the welfare state. A lot of that, of course, is fueled by the immigration situation in California. You've got the environmental regulations and the control of the water in California that's destroying huge elements of the economy of that state. You've got all kinds of insane interest group politics that keep the budget astronomically high and have driven California into Greek-style debt. But I think the one thing that's going to prove to be the kill stroke for California will be the outright undisguised plunder being committed by so-called public servants, because they're deeply entrenched, they're politically unassailable, and they have the benefit, I think, of what you might call class loyalty on the part of the people who are involved in appropriations. Basically, they're all part of the tax-consuming class. They're the takers, not the makers. And the takers, of course, have an affinity for each other at the expense of the rest of us. Well, at some point, there's nothing left for the takers to take. The makers are no longer going to be around. They will flee. A lot of people, of course, are still fleeing from California for that very reason. Or they'll no longer be in a position to generate wealth because the economy will be dead. So what will the takers do once the makers have been driven into extinction? That's a question that's going to face California very, very quickly. Of course, what's likely to happen is that California, the government of California, is going to come to the rest of us who live outside of that state. Many of us fled that state. I lived in California for a while as a child. My parents fled the state of California, eventually coming here to Idaho because we didn't want to be governed by the people. Dad had gone to school with at Berkeley in the 1960s. But the rest of us, of course, are going to be told that we have some kind of a community obligation or some kind of a national interest in keeping the takers in California in a position that they're accustomed to and making sure that they're guaranteed the standard of living that they think is their due at whatever expense to the rest of us.
Well, you know, basically here in California, they're $500 billion short on their pension funds. Now, where is the $500 billion, $500 billion going to come from? Certainly the state can't afford it because right now we've already got a $20 billion deficit just for this coming year. In fact, Stephen Frank, who analyzes this, says it's really closer to $40 billion on an $80 billion budget. Where's the money coming from? You know, back in 1960, one of my friends, a doctor, had just come back from Uruguay, and he said, you know, Uruguay is the most wonderful country. I mean, basically, you can work for there for 10 years, and then you can retire at half price, half salary, and then you can go to work for another company and work for 10 years and retire at half salary, and then you can go to work for another country company and three or four, so you can end up with four half salaries there, 200 times your ordinary salary after working for 40 years. Isn't it wonderful? It's so prosperous down there. Well, about 10 years later, the whole thing collapsed.
Yeah.
And people find it difficult that modern societies can collapse, and yet this is what happens with debt. And this is exactly where America is headed. We've got 75 million baby boomers about to retire, and very, very few people coming into the workforce. Who's going to put in the money for the Social Security and Medicare on the Ponzi schemes? And there's not going to be that many people working. Furthermore, we're shipping our jobs overseas, or we're shipping our factories overseas. We've already lost 8.5 million jobs since this recession began, and we continue losing them. They keep telling us things are getting better, and yet we lose more jobs every month. We're heading into a terrible financial collapse here, and the average American has no idea the terrible things that lie ahead.
I agree with that assessment, and I agree as well with the fact that there's this insistence that we're seeing in the media, and we're reading it in the newspaper, seeing it online in the various news sites, and hearing it incessantly bruited about in some of the more establishment-line television news programs, that the economy is doing better, that it's heading in the right direction. And part of that reflects, of course, the parochialism of the political class. There was a piece on the Politico.com website just a few days ago talking about an opinion poll of policy elites and professionals in D.C. about what direction the economy was headed and if they thought that the country in general was headed in the right direction. And nearly half of the people polled thought that the economy was improving and that things are heading in the right direction. And that means, of course, that all of our wealth is heading in their direction because they're doing just fine as the rest of the country suffers and bleeds and lies prostrate.
Well, you hang on there. We're going to be back in just a moment. Of course, our guest is William Grieg. We're talking about what's going on in America. And ladies and gentlemen, you can say, well, my goodness, it's only a matter of a short period of time. Even Ben Bernanke recently, this last week, testified before Congress about the economy. He said it's an uncertain uncertainty. What is he talking about? Well, that's a Greenspanism. It means we're in deep trouble. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, Ben Bernanke referring to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
doing?
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Employment rate is between 22% and 23%. Now, I think it's important people understand unemployment rate is the people who are unemployed and looking for work. The people who are underemployed, two or three jobs are taking a marked decrease in pay, and the people who simply given up looking for work. They've been looking for work for two or three years. They can't find it. They've given up, but the real unemployment rate is not 9.5%, as they would tell us. Their U6 unemployment rate, they will acknowledge, using that category, is about 17%. But if you take out the life, the death-birth ratio, as John Williams does, between 22 and 23% of the people in America are unemployed, and that is an unacceptable level. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and once again, it's important to recognize here that what we're talking about in terms of this contrast between the way that the anointed live in Washington, D.C., and the way that the rest of us are trying to get by amid this catastrophic economic contraction, that's something that you can see playing out in every city and every state in the union right now. Because the state governments and county governments and municipal governments, but I'm willing to grant probably a handful of exceptions, very noble and worthwhile exceptions, they're little replicas of the imperial government in Washington, D.C. They have the same priorities. They follow pretty much the same script. They dictate their policies to the rest of us in pretty much the same way. This is particularly true if you're dealing with people who are involved in land use and zoning decisions. I just still find myself shaking my head, dumbstruck wonder over the arrogant disregard for the consequences of what people in planning and zoning boards do to other people with respect to the management of their own property. There's a really good example here in this little Payette County community I live in western Idaho, where the person who's in charge of the planning and zoning board always gets a police escort after every single meeting. And every time they gather, somebody is going to end up having something done that will inflict a material damage on him and his livelihood and the property that he owns that he has acquired legitimately as a result of arbitrary decisions by somebody who can't be considered in any way competent to be making decisions of that sort. But this individual has said, in the presence of people who she thought were on her side in terms of the way that power is operated, she said, you know, if people aren't angry at me, I'm not doing my job. Now, how in the world could that be considered public service? You know, how in the world could she be considered to be doing a good job and dealing in equity with people when she requires a police escort after every meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board because she has done things to people, innocent people, law-abiding people with their own property, that is going in some way to injure their material interests, in some cases perhaps even wreck their livelihood? But that's in the community. Once again, Payette County is maybe 12 or 13,000 people. That's in a community this size in Idaho, which is a state not notable for its congeniality to government abuse. So if it's that way in the Greenwood, what's it like in the Dry? Here's another really good example. I hope I can get this in before we have to go to our next break, but this is from a little community called Elmhurst. I believe it's in Indiana. Elmhurst officials are considering creating a disturbance and disorderly conduct violation after a resident accused of rolling her eyes and sighing was ejected from a public meeting. City Attorney Don Storino has been directed by the city's Finance and Council Affairs Committee to look at various sources, including Robert's Rules of Order, oh, this is in Illinois, Illinois state statutes and policies adopted by other municipalities for a legal definition of disorderly conduct and disruptive behavior. He is expected to report his findings to the committee on July 26th. Alderman Stephen Hipskind said Darlene Heslop rolled her eyes and sighed while attending a June 14th committee meeting. Heslop, who was asked to leave the meeting, said she favors adding a definition of disorderly conduct to the municipal code. I'd like for them, meaning city officials, to have a better understanding of the Open Meetings Act and its meaning and to understand what disorderly conduct is, she said. Heslop, who was asked to leave the meeting during discussion of a proposal for the city to hire a state lobbyist, which she opposes, said she hopes adding the definition will help city officials better understand what the public is entitled to. They want to find some way of criminalizing eye-rolling by way of expressing disagreement with the anointed few who run city government there in Elmhurst, Illinois. That's typical of the political ruling class that we're dealing with, even at the local level in this country now.
And I think that's really such an important point. People must understand that those who lust for power, power corrupts, popular power corrupts absolutely everyone, but power is a great aphrodisiac. Henry Kissinger said that. I think it's really true. They love to be able to tell other people what to do. And they'd have been really very, very, fit in very well in the Nazi concentration camps where you had a helpless people to control. There are people who really want to control you. This is certainly a point where I think it's so vitally important that people understand that nothing has changed. Cicero talked about the bureaucracy in ancient Rome and how these members of the bureaucracy misuse their power, and they do it today. Go right ahead.
No doubt about it. And I want to disabuse people to the extent that I have the influence to do so of the notion that somehow the people who are in elected or appointed positions locally are made out of better stuff than the ones that they see parading across the television cameras, the television screen every day. They're made out of the same stuff. They're made out of the same stuff that each of us is made out of, which is to say, you know, each of us is a bundle of appetites. Each of us is veiled in flesh. Each of us is vulnerable to all that the flesh is heir to. That includes a lust for power, a desire to dominate others, a desire to enrich ourselves at the expense of others. Unfortunately, those are the raw materials of politics. And ultimately, the problems we're talking about are not amenable to a political solution. There has to be something that changes at a more elemental level in an individual and in individuals compositely before you're going to have anything really positive happen in the society. And that's one of the reasons I appreciate the fact, Dr. Stan, that you keep talking about the fact that at the bottom of this, the root of all of this, the taproot of our predicament is the fact that we have turned away from God. We have refused to live according to the golden rule. And the golden rule, of course, is the only alternative to the iron fist. If you're not going to govern yourselves according to the golden rule, you're going to be ruled by the iron fist. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about an iron fist that's deployed by one tyrant 3,000 miles away or 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away. Tyranny is going to be the constant in this equation. And that's why when you have an economic correction, you have an opportunity for a social correction as well. And the social correction will take place, I believe, when people are freed from materialism and they understand that the liberty we were given, as our Creator intended for us to express it, the liberty we were given is based upon the reciprocal respect for each other's rights.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cindy Williams is talking about you cannot have freedom without having individual responsibility. We have to have responsible people, or there is no way that we can have a limited government. Go right ahead.
Yes, we can't limit government if we don't exercise a modicum of self-restraint, and it all has to be based on the reciprocity of rights and the mutuality of individual respect. One of the best ways I ever saw to describe this, I believe it was C.S. Lewis who talked about this, is the fundamental appreciation of the value of every individual by valuing every individual as you value yourself. That's the golden rule in practice. What he said is, because I would not be a slave, I would not be a master. And you, of course, in a democratic economy, democratic society like we have become, which we're not supposed to be, we're supposed to be, once again, a federated constitutional republic based on the idea that to the extent government has any excuse for existing, it exists only to protect our rights, to supplement our individual self-defense, if you will. In a democratic society, everybody assumes that if we as a collective enslave others, that somehow the act of doing it as a collective dignifies and sanctifies what we're doing. And that's democratic politics in a nutshell. It's suddenly all right to rob and murder and extort from people as long as it somehow has acquired the imprimatur of a democratic government, as if that changes the nature of the thing. And at the bottom of that, of course, there's this idolatrous assumption that the government ruling us in some sense is divine because it can either rewrite or ignore outright the laws that the Creator established for us to live by. And in other words, you can end up with a fiat government rather than a government based on the golden rule. That actually works, I think, in terms of a larger metaphor for our predicament. What's wrong with the economy right now? Well, the government presumes that it can create wealth by generating instruments of debt it calls dollars and forcing us to take them as legal tender. Now, we wouldn't have to be forced to take them by legal tender laws if they had some kind of value or they were representative of some kind of intrinsic value, if they were backed by a commodity that is considered to be intrinsically valuable, whether gold or silver or some other commodity that people naturally want that represents real wealth, that rather is a quantum of real wealth. Well, they generate fiat money. Fiat, of course, means that it's something that has an arbitrary declared value that's declared by the government as if the government has the right to establish what value is. Well, God created gold. God created silver. Gold and silver are considered to be intrinsically valuable. Only God can create real money in that respect. And once the government, of course, went off the gold standard, we ended up in a situation where we're caught in the coils of this metastasizing debt crisis. That's hitting in this generation. You mentioned, Dr. Stan, a couple of segments back, the impending retirement of the baby boomer cohort. And, of course, the huge benefit glut. There actually, it's not going to be a glut, it's going to be a drought. It's going to be a drought of revenue. It's going to be a glut of people who are drawing on no revenue that exists. this is something, of course, that everybody has been anticipating with horror and trepidation for over a generation now, since the late 70s or early 80s. But we didn't even need to have that catastrophe befall us for the economy to fall apart. The economy really fell apart in terms of what an economy is supposed to be when the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, and then, of course, the coup de grace came in 1971 with the sundering of the last link between the so-called dollar and gold. And so it shouldn't surprise us that a government that is based upon the repudiation of the golden rule would repudiate the gold standard as well. And without those two things, and without the gold standard, of course, we don't have actual value in an economy. We have an act of collective fraud in the interests of collective plunder. And without the golden rule, of course, all we end up with is the alternative being ruled by force majeure, by the last argument of tyrants, which is the iron that can be brought to bear on the battlefield. And it's important, I think, in discussing all of this, to bring this down again to the local level. And one of the reasons why I'm obsessing upon that particular aspect of the problem tonight, Dr. Stan, is that I've been looking at this over the last year or so on the assumption that at some point in the near future, simply by virtue of the way that the economy is breaking up and the way that economies of scale are breaking down, then the division of labor is starting to be disrupted, and all these networks that we've taken for granted are now very vulnerable to disruption, that people are going to be living in a more local scheme. They're going to be dealing in a more localized way with problems because they're simply not going to be either the backstop of the federal government, if you want to look at it that way, or if you want to look at it another way, there's not going to be really the shackles of the federal government to some extent. There's going to be huge tumult and upheaval at the local level, but there's also going to be opportunities for people to live in different ways than we have been living. And so I've been trying to get out in front of a couple of the trend lines that I see here that would be very important as decentralization of some sort occurs, not necessarily in terms of the federal government relinquishing its claims on us, but rather the federal government not being able to enforce those claims quite to the extent that it had done previously. And I think that people have to be looking a lot more carefully at what's going on at the level of the city hall, what's going on with their municipal governments. This, of course, is where, of course, you're dealing with the cutting edge of government, where the proverbial rubber collides with the proverbial road. And I think that that's going to become much more salient matter in the very near future. And I think that's, once again, a healthy development. But as we see with this horrible story coming out of Bell, California, when you really find out what these people are up to and the extent to which these people are just indulging in undisguised criminality of the sort that medieval Sicily would have found just a little bit excessive, that's a terrible thing to learn, and it's a source of great anguish and a source of potential violence. I mean, Bell was about to erupt. This little town was about to erupt this week. They literally, I think, came within a hair's breadth of an outright revolt by the city population when they found out that their city manager was hauling down $800,000 a year and getting a guaranteed 12% annual raise on top of everything else, while these people are trying to get by on $35,000 living in California. But that's the sort of thing that we're going to be seeing a lot more frequently in the coming years. And so, once again, it can be nauseating and it can be infuriating, but also there's an opportunity here because there will be little pockets, I think, little islands of relative tranquility and stability and liberty that will spring up. And so people are going to have to be thinking in terms of how they're going to negotiate the transition from what we're living in right now to a system that's going to be a little bit more centralized, a little bit more turbid, a little more unpredictable. But there'll be opportunities, I think, that will come along. One really strange way of examining how the government ruling us is trying to get out in front of this and trying to forestall some of these decentralizing trends, ironically enough, is the subject of an article at the top of my blog, Pro Libertate, right now. The article is entitled "The Regime's War on Food," and it deals with this expanding crackdown on people who are part of food clubs and food co-ops, people who were involved in producing and consuming, for instance, unpasteurized dairy products, I'm not a big fan of unpasteurized dairy products. Let me stipulate my prejudices right up front. I'm not a fan of dairy products, period, for reasons that I won't go into that have to do with my own metabolism and so forth. But the point is there are people who profess to have found health benefits in drinking unpasteurized milk or eating products that are made out of unpasteurized dairy. I grew up on a farm that included dairy. I used to milk cows. We had unpasteurized milk. We ate butter and ice cream that was made from unpasteurized milk. There are liabilities that come from that. There are trade-offs. If you forego pasteurization, you have to be very careful in terms of what you're consuming. But if you're fully informed and if you're somebody who's a steward of your own body and nutritional needs, there's no reason on earth why government should be criminalizing this. But nonetheless, there are these crackdowns that occur now with metronomic regularity against raw food clubs. There was one that occurred just recently in Venice, California, the same day that there was an armed raid on a farm in Ventura County. There's a story that I'm talking about here in this article involving Max Kane, who's a guy, I think he's 32 or 33, a dairy farmer in Viroqua, Wisconsin, and the founder of a group called the Raw Milk Party. He's being threatened with imprisonment on a criminal contempt charge because he's refused to turn over to the state government, and by way of the state government, to the feds, to the FDA, the FBI, the USDA, et al., a list of his associates and consumers and people who are members of his raw milk club. They have no right to extract that information from him. He's not the subject of a criminal complaint. His raw milk, his raw food club, Bell's Lunchbox, has not been the subject of a criminal complaint. It's a fishing expedition, and it's being conducted here in the form of extortion because they have no legal right to be extracting this from him, yet they're subpoenaing a list of associates from him and trying to turn him into an informant. He's refused to cooperate. He's challenging the constitutionality of the statutes in Wisconsin that forbid people to sell raw milk. That's ironic because, of course, Wisconsin is a big dairy state. But it's only ironic if you understand, once again, we're dealing with the economics of cartels here. You've got a huge lobby here that's allied to the government. The dairy lobby in Wisconsin and a couple of other states is allied to government, to its regulatory apparatus. And naturally, of course, in the practice of what's called rent-seeking, they want to use the regulatory agencies in order to preserve their competitive advantage. And if you allow upstarts to get involved in promoting a product that other people consider more healthy, well, that's going to undermine their competitive advantage. So there's that dynamic in this conversation as well. But more importantly, I think this is an illustration of something that the government is going to be doing a lot more frequently, and it's going to have a lot more tools, a lot more weapons in its arsenal to pursue this as a result of Obamacare and a couple of other developments, and that is they want to use whatever means they have, and their means are quite formidable, to penalize and discourage self-sufficiency. They want to penalize and discourage the emergence of local, non-corporate, non-government-allied economies, particularly with respect to the production of food and the other necessities of life. The government wants to be able to control, regulate, manage, surveil, and interdict all of these forms of commerce. They do not want us to be independent. They do not want us to be able to live off of the grid that they have established to constrain our behavior. And so this is one example, I think, of that tendency, and I think a conscious campaign on the part of government to try to rein in people who have gone off the grid and who are trying to live in a way that the government does not have control over. Another really good example of this, and I just touched on this briefly toward the end of this essay, is this provision which was tucked away in one of these monstrous bills recently passed that's intended to go after the precious metals market. That's entirely predictable. I was waiting to see at what point they were going to start trying to rein in people who are actually going out and getting involved in the acquisition and the husbandry, if you will, the management, the stewardship over real money, especially given the fact that we're due for, at some point, a huge monetization of debt. I don't know when that's going to happen, and as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, right now, the banks are sitting on the money that the Fed's created. The Fed's not penalizing them for doing so. They're just sitting on all this. At some point, however, they are going to have to monetize the debt. I mean, God help us when that happens, because everything we have is going to be completely washed away in this torrential outpouring of what they call liquidity, and the rest of us, of course, call counterfeiting. But they're doing what they can right now to preset the dials to where they're going to be able to crack down on people who are making themselves somewhat self-sufficient. And they want all of us on the reservation, to use a term with a certain historical resonance. Earlier, Dr. Stan, you referred to the way that in regimes that are completely given over to the unfiltered evil of human lust for power, you have death camps. You of course, are informed, we should be informed and very aware of the really conspicuous evil examples of where that can lead, what happened to the Soviet Union and Communist China and National Socialist Germany and so forth. If you want to take a look from our own history at where we're headed right now, I can't help but find myself reflecting on what happened to the Lakota Indians after 1876, after the Battle of Little Bighorn and the last big pushback against the expansion of the federal government into what had been guaranteed as their territories in perpetuity. You had this long, drawn-out campaign of attrition, to use economic extortion and the other methods of depleting them, of enervating the Indian population, breaking them to the saddle of the state, then reduce them to a situation where they're on an ever-shrinking parcel of territory called a reservation and dependent on government for rations, where they've been able to go out and hunt and provide for themselves and live according to their lights, pursue a standard of living to their satisfaction. Now they were dependent on a hostile government for everything they received. I'm trying to remember how Crazy Horse put it. That wasn't Crazy Horse, it was Red Cloud who denigrated the Indians who sold out for a wad of tobacco and a little bit of beef and bacon. But, of course, what happened is that the rations were cut back a little bit every year. And sooner or later, of course, these people were literally starved into submission, which was the policy of dealing with the Indians.
Well, one of these days it may well be used with us. William, we're approaching the end of the program.
Yeah.
I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog, how they can get to your radio program, and, of course, how they can get to your PayPal button.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. Yeah, well, one of the things that I'm haunted by is the prospect of us being treated like Indians on the res and literally starved out in these cities where we're penned up. My blog is called Pro Libertate. It's at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. The easiest way to find it is to Google my last name, Grigg, G-R-I-G-G, and Pro Libertate, L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E, or just Google William Grigg, and that should be the first return. I update it two or three times a week. My radio program is also called Pro Libertate. It's on the Liberty News Radio Network every Saturday night from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock. That's libertynewsradio.com. And I believe that there are affiliates in California and now also throughout the Northwest. But, of course, the program is available as a live streaming feature on the Internet, and it's available as podcasts as well. And as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, on my Pro Libertate blog, I have a PayPal account set up and where people who have the means and are inclined to do so can donate to keep Pro Libertate up and running. Right now, that's basically I'm supporting myself and my family is by way of the blog and the donations we receive. So once again, go to Pro Libertate, those of you who are interested in reading what I have to say, hearing what I have to say, and donating to keep this going. That's something I greatly appreciate. Pro Libertate is at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or just Google William Grigg. That should be the first return.
And, of course, I would appreciate if you're able to help William. He's doing a wonderful job. We want to keep him going. He's got a wife and six kids to look after. But he is certainly one of the most articulate people we have within the conservative movement. And you'll certainly want to be reading his articles. You'll find them many a times at News with Views. You'll find them certainly at lourockwell.com. And certainly we need to have the information. You need to have the facts at your fingertips. He'll help to crystallize them for you. So if you're in a position to help, I'd certainly encourage you doing it. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, once again, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening and to share some...
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 23 July. Thank you for joining us today. It's Friday. We made it. 2010. Thank you so very much for joining us in the Power Hour today. For searching beyond entertainment, just trying to keep yourself busy is, well, it's not real hard to do anymore, is it? Seems like there's always so much to do now that we do gardening and we're trying to reshape our lives. Well, I do thank you for participating in reshaping your life. You know, even Glenn Beck, yesterday, I couldn't believe it, on his program, said, we must be self-sustaining. Oh, he was upset yesterday. This new financial bill that has passed the House that has nothing to do, well, it has everything to do with a lot of other things besides finances, but it's really a big way to get into your privacy when it comes to financial issues. He made the statement, be self-sufficient. And then he refers to the absconding of gold, possibly, by the attempt to try and get in there and know how much you have, referring, of course, to the new portion of the health care bill that deals with gold. Oh, he was upset, referring to Executive Order 6102. Anyway, I'll tell you after the break. The fine that one was going to be given if they did not turn in their gold and silver back in 1933, the fine then versus how much that fine would be today. Pretty much, an incredible figure. As well as, he just yelled it out, the Republic is over. It is bad. It is really, really bad. So what do? We take care of ourselves and make sure that we are ready to face whatever comes about. In the second hour, we're going to be talking to Christopher Clark. He is in Greece, and he has written a book, The Triumph of Consciousness, Overcoming False Environmentalism, Lapdog Media, and Global Government. The man puts it all together. We're going to talk to him about, is it going to be revolution? And who will be doing, or who is doing, the revolution? He's in Greece right now, obviously a focal point of financial vulnerabilities. We will talk to him as to what he sees as the big picture. Tropical Storm Bonnie. Ooh, they're clearing out the Gulf right now, clearing the ships out, disrupting the operations on the oil containment there for 10 days. Whoa, 10 days. Tropical Storm Bonnie. Jobless rate jumps 37,000. I guess they're not hiring any more census workers, are there? There's nobody else to hire in this country. Why? We don't make anything. What part of, if you don't create something out of nothing and then sell it, do we not understand? BP has been slapped with three doctored photos that have been found. I'm sure a lot of people are looking for more doctored photos, saying, well, if there's three, there's probably a whole bunch more. Been a lot of rumors about those doctored pictures coming from BP from the very beginning. Obama signed in the U.S. Financial Reform Act into law. Incredible what it's going to do. We'll talk about that. The CLEAR Act. Another federal land grab coming. And BP awarded a massive Iraq oil contract just recently. Chris Landau, who's been a guest on the program, talks about the problem with the BP well. He has been very vocal, very out front, and we had him on the program first before anyone else had him, and he really makes a lot of sense. Also, we're going to continue the Avandia diabetes drug story, just because we need to tie it all together as to how they get it done. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joy Schrock.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've seen our sign.